midst of studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit in regard to believers, and just fewer and fewer. I don't understand. Am I not saying it correctly? Are y'all not hearing it? They're not hearing it correctly or something. The Holy Spirit doesn't work through that? Okay. All right. Okay, let's open the Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Gospel of John, chapter 16. Okay, let's talk about prayer. And the first thing in regard to prayer is, Tish is here. We were in prayer for you Sunday morning. You were under the weather, and you're still a little bit under, but you persevered. The Spirit led you to be here, and so you're here. There you go. Hey, amen. He drove the driving ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'll have to work on that one. I hadn't found that one. And the prodding ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we're glad you're feeling a little better. We'll just keep praying that you get to feel fully recovered. Let's see. West Tuttle is down. He's not feeling well tonight at all. He called and told me he was under. And is Jim Langston out of town or is he sick? Out of town. He's okay. And and Jerry and Leslie, are they both not feeling good? He's not feeling well. Wow, okay. Well, need to be in prayer for Jerry. Gee whiz. He's got to work as well as attend Bible study. And he's got to work and come to Bible study and take care of his mother-in-law's place. So and need to be in prayer for John and Judy Hintz. They are in need of our prayers. They're getting a little better, but not a whole lot. And a new thing happened to John with this flu that he's had, and he's really been down. He has been down, and Judy's been down even longer, but it's affected his hearing in his left ear, and he's going to have to go to the doctor, and as soon as he could get in was Tuesday morning, and the doctor said, yes, it's probably related to the flu, and they'll have to see if it is a permanent thing or just a temporary thing, and it's apparently something that normally happens. I'm not sure I've heard of that, but it does affect the hearing, and it has affected John's, and so we need to be in prayer for John and then Judy. It's not that big of a deal to a lot of people, but they've had Wilbur the pig, I guess 12, 13 years, maybe even longer than that now, and Wilbur died. And John said, I don't know where dead pigs go, but that's where Wilbur is. He's going in the ground. That's one thing I do know. And but let's be in. Yeah, my goodness. Get some sausage. Get some sausage out of all that food. Out of all that food they've been feeding him. And so we need to be in prayer for John and Judy. I've not heard from Dan and Pat. Whether or not, have you heard from them? Whether or not they made it to Africa or Liberia, Monrovia? Okay. And so we just need to continue to be in prayer for them. And I think they will be taking their medication through tomorrow. So we need to be in prayer for them. Let's see, who else? Anyone else we need to be in prayer for that we know of? Okay. All right, let's begin with our word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test ourselves to see if we're trusting His Spirit. And I'll tell you, the more I study on the Holy Spirit, I think the strongest way I can word it is I am ashamed that this was not from year one. In May of 2011, I will have been in the ministry 37 years here in Dallas area, and it took a long time for me to grasp the significance and importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to blame anyone but myself. And on the other hand, I'm very thankful that he is opening up passages and concepts to me that I just have not seen, not been taught, I guess, in the way that I'm not in the way that I'm seeing it now. And the manner of being filled with the Spirit, of course, we know that's rarely taught, that it's by faith alone. And then there's just other aspects that we'll be looking at in our New Year's Eve special. And it's a springboard from this one. And it just, I'm just amazed. The more I sit in my office and read and study, read the Bible, study the Bible, and then look at maybe some of the men that I do respect, what they've done with it. I was looking in the scriptural index of a lot of men, and dealing with the Holy Spirit, didn't even deal with Galatians 5:17, Galatians 5:25. A few of them did just in passing, and I'm just amazed. And so we need to grasp the significance of it, of the Holy Spirit in truth and in fullness. It's critical. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is absolutely critical. It's fundamental to the Christian life, living the Christian life. And there are many people who have gotten into the Holy Spirit, the charismatics, but not in truth. And it just is, and then others kind of give him a casual allegiance, but it's just amazing. And what we're looking at now in the Gospel of John 15:14, 15:16, the last words of Jesus Christ before his crucifixion, and he's primarily just teaching on the Holy Spirit all the way through. It's the Holy Spirit. And somehow or another, just haven't grabbed hold of it. So let's begin tonight with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in teaching us the truth, opening our eyes to the truth. Now, Father, what your Son concentrates on hours before the crucifixion becomes important to us. A little more important maybe than other things. He's just about to be crucified for the sins of the world, resurrected, something that's never happened in history before or since, but will on the resurrection day. Ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand, your right hand, which has never happened before. Before all of these unbelievable events take place, he is teaching his disciples and us about the Holy Spirit, the one that he has sent to take his place here on earth. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we left off in verse 12. Now we are in John 16, and verse 12, Jesus Christ says, I have many more things to say to you. And we went back to John 15:15, where he calls them friends, and I would have you know all things that the Father has revealed to me. So here he says, I would have tell you all these things. And then he says, but you cannot bear them now. He didn't say you can't learn them. He said you can't bear them now. And we are left looking at the emphatic now, the adverb, the Greek adverb, at the present time. And now, in contrast to the fact that they will be able to later. Now, what will happen that they will be able to do so later? Three things. One, the sending of the Holy Spirit universally to all believers. Secondly, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But third, and very important, the filling of the Holy Spirit. All believers have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but not all believers are filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, they don't know how. And so we have these three important things, and that will change their whole significance. And then we closed last week, we're looking at the importance of that Greek adverb now in John 19:19-25, John 13:6-36-37, John 14:7, John 16:31. And then we look at the understanding that they will have when the Holy Spirit comes. They will be able to grasp more. And we ended with looking at 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7, 1 Peter 1:8, Revelation 12:9-11, to give you some idea of the power and the impact of the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is where I wanted to deal with last week, but we didn't get to it. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, just to give you an idea of the impact of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the impact of the coming of the Holy Spirit. People, we often talk a great deal about the coming of Jesus Christ in history, and indeed we should. He came and He took our place on the cross and bore the judgment of our sins, paving the way to eternal life with God, the life of God and with God and the righteousness of God. But people, we need to pay attention to the coming of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit right now. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 to get some idea of the impact. Let's begin reading in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Now, we don't always have to be on our knees, but I know I've had what I call knee prayers in my life. I've had a few knee prayers in my life. And one of my knee prayers was before I got married. And that was a knee prayer. Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. One of my favorite George Beverly Shea hymns is, if I could pray like a child again, remembers when his mother told him that down on your knees, you're taller than trees. It's a beautiful hymn. So this is the one verse that starts this whole thing. I bow my knees before the Father in prayer is the idea. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now, that, here's what he prays, that He, the Father, would grant you, believers, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the power, with power, through His Spirit in the inner man, giving of the Holy Spirit. Now why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. By faith in the Holy Spirit, we have the dwelling of Jesus Christ, and that you, being the believer, being rooted and grounded, rooted is the teaching, grounded is the manner in which you and I live, in love, spiritual love, may be able, now, through the Holy Spirit, by faith, you're grounded in spiritual love, may be able now, may be able because of your faith in the Spirit, that power and spiritual love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. We've been seeing that in John 16. Which surpasses knowledge. The spiritual love surpasses knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. People, that's powerful. If we think that here I am, I'm not the president, I'm not a general, I'm not a multi-billionaire, all these things, I take care of my little living quarters and my own life, and that we can be filled with the fullness of God. That's just astounding. We don't take advantage of what we have given to us. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, we can understand that which is beyond understanding. We can grasp beyond understanding. How can you understand that which is beyond understanding? It sounds like a paradox. But remember, God specializes in paradoxes. And here he does it by the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Also note in this passage, verse 16 of this passage, the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, by means of faith. Verse 18, now the ability to comprehend and know that which surpasses knowledge. That is the love of Christ. By the way, which love we are commanded to have toward one another. The same love that could flow through us, that was flowing through Jesus Christ when we're under the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's get back now to John 16. Get back to John 16 in our passage now. Says in verse 12, I have many more things, doctrines, mysteries, things not before revealed, to say, to communicate to you for your advantage. It's native of advantage. But, strong conjunction of contrast, I cannot communicate these doctrines to you right now. I desire to. I want to. But I can't do it. Why not? You, the believer in a present status, these disciples in present status, and us when we're not in the filling of the Spirit, cannot. Do not have the ability to bear. If you recall, that means to comprehend, to use properly them, the things that he would teach. Then he says, now. Now. You are without the Holy Spirit, but soon you will have the Holy Spirit and will be able to bear them. Now let's look at the word cannot for a moment. Cannot. You cannot bear them. The Greek word is ability. The ability to do this. You just don't have the ability. Got to realize when we're out of the Spirit, it's just like not having him. So let's look at Galatians 3 a moment, please. Look at Galatians chapter 3 a moment. Galatians chapter 3. And we want to look in Galatians 3, verse 5. Very important passage in Scripture. We've turned to it every now and then. Does he, God the Father, then, based on what's going on, who provides present active participle of epikoregeo, means to furnish, to supply, to supply. Does he then who provides or supplies, who graciously supplies you, the believer, with the Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now it gets tricky. And works miracles among you. I have no idea what happened to the New American Standard translators. These men are scholars. They generally do a phenomenally good job in dealing with the original text. I just do not know what happened to them here. Well, maybe not. They just, they may not have been. I don't know. I had one of them as a professor at Dallas Seminary who worked on the staff that translated the New American Standard. A wonderful man, Dr. Kenneth Barker. But let's take a look. It says, and works miracles among you. Okay, this wasn't really going on, but let's take a look at what it says. First of all, and. It's the conjunction chi, and should be translated as an explanative. Even. Even. And then it's the works is a present active participle of energeo, to work, to be operative, to be effective, and it's a present participle, so it should be translated working. Even working, and then you have the word miracles. So wrong here. This is the same word used in John 16:12 for power or ability, having the power or ability. See, it's the same word. Here they translate it miracles. I don't understand that. It's the word dunamis. And it's where we get the English word dynamite. It means power, ability, achieving power. And it should be translated very simply without fooling with it. And graciously supplies you with the Holy Spirit, even working power. Now, then you have among you. No, it is not among you. We have a preposition in, E-N, in the Greek, and it should be translated in you, not among you. But if I take that as miracles, it would be among us. But if you take it as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's in. Okay? So let's see if we can smooth this out now. Who graciously supplies you with the Spirit, even working power in you. Now, in John 16:12, Jesus says, you cannot bear them now. Or, you do not have the ability, the power, to bear them now. But once the Holy Spirit, power that is graciously given to us through the Holy Spirit, through the God the Father, then they will have the ability or the power. Now let's go back to John 16:12. Because God supplies us with this working power, this ability, the ability to grasp these things. So 16:12, I have many more things to say to you, but right now I cannot. Why? You do not have the ability, the power, to bear them now, at this time, because you do not have the Holy Spirit. The Galatians passage 3:5 takes place after the beginning of the church age, or with the beginning of the church age on the day of Pentecost, when God starts supplying believers with the Holy Spirit. By the time he writes Galatians 3, it's all over the world now. Every believer is empowered, or excuse me, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He's supplied with the Holy Spirit. So that this problem that Jesus Christ is encountering and not being able to teach them is resolved. How is it resolved? By giving to every believer this power, this ability to grasp or bear Scripture. So they do not have the Holy Spirit, but once you have Him, once you have the Holy Spirit, then you will be able to comprehend them, then you'll be able to bear them properly. The Holy Spirit will teach them, guide them into the truth, and equip them to be able to bear the truth, to be able to use the truth. It's like the study of the two words. I really love our study, and it wasn't even... I just found it by accident of looking at Messiah, the Prince, the Messiah, in Daniel 9 for our study on Sunday, dealing with the names of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and that you will know and discern. Both of those require the work of the Holy Spirit. To know, to learn, requires the work of the Spirit. But then, not just having that knowledge, but being able to, I don't know how to use it, to discern. That's the ability that the Holy Spirit gives. So much depends on the Holy Spirit. Let's take a few points. One. Everything. Everything. So much of everything. From our convicting ministry, salvation, spirituality, living the Christian life, everything. Point one. Okay. Do you realize what Jesus Christ is saying here, and especially when we consider the working, the wording of Galatians 3:5, the working power? We have the power, the ability to understand the Word of God. To understand the Word of God. This is unbelievable. Far more important. Far more important than understanding human knowledge, secular knowledge in school, knowledge of the computer, knowledge of nuclear science, knowledge of the body. People, this is so far more important. And this is something that every born-again believer can have. We're all limited in our IQ of understanding nuclear things and medical things and the computer and all of these types of things. But people, the only limitation of understanding and grasping the Word of God is our not being in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's our decision not to be walking by faith in Him. But this is just astounding. I mean, I get frustrated. I have to give my, now 13, but my 12-year-old granddaughter my cell phone and ask her to put in a new name and a new number or take one out and do all this kind of stuff. She can do it. And a piece of cake, my 9-year-old can do it. Probably the 8-year-old if I ask him. Yeah. My goodness. I get frustrated with this. And even in school, going through different subjects and all. But people, this is remarkable. This is not dependent on your IQ. This is dependent on trusting the Holy Spirit when we sit down and have someone teach us or study the Scriptures. This is just astounding, unbelievable power we have inside of us. The power to comprehend God's Word, the Holy Bible. People at seminary, I've often told you, there's a couple of men I can name you. They've written books enough to cover this wall in a bookcase by one man. And never saw that the gospel is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Never saw it. And just been ride and ride and going on and on and the languages and everything. Didn't see a simple truth. Here we can see the unbelievable things in this Bible. Many are so impressed with the power to speak in tongues and the gift of healing and all this kind of nonsense. But Jesus Christ, it is the power to comprehend scriptural truth. He never talked about speaking in tongues. He never talked about healing. He talked about, though, being able to understand the Holy Scriptures. That's remarkable. This is what's important to our Savior. It's what should be important to us. To understand them, and then to discern, using the Greek, the word used in Daniel 9:25, and discern the using of them, the application of them. People, this is just remarkable. Remarkable. I'd love to go back over stress, anxiety, and depression, even though we talked about the filling of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit. Boy, that would just be the center of the whole deal. It's just this unbelievable power that's in us. But we get our minds on the things of the world and understanding the things of the world, and that clutters it all up and brings about stress, anxiety, and depression. But here we have the ability to comprehend the Word of God. And to Jesus Christ, this was what was essential. To understand them and to use them properly. So few come close to seeing the power inside of them. Therefore, they are not all that interested in Bible study. Another way of seeing this great power, look at Ephesians 3. Look at Ephesians 3. Passage we just read, but I want you to look at it again in a different context. The great power that's inside of us. Ephesians 3:19. Look at it again with me. To know the love of Christ. And this has entire meaning emotionally. This means to grasp it. Which surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Not have a filled up bank account. Not have a filled up shelf of things. Not have a garage filled with cars. But to be filled with the knowledge, with the fullness of God. And because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's available to every born again believer, regardless of sex, regardless of economic status, regardless of physical health. It's available to every believer. You just walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to fill you up with the fullness of God. Point 2. Let's note the ministry of the Holy Spirit just from Jesus Christ teaching here. He is the Spirit of Truth, 14:17. He will guide into all truth, 16:13. He equips us to bear the truth of doctrine of what God is doing, teach of things to come. The illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit. Point three. Right now, that Greek adverb of time, these men cannot comprehend nor bear the fact that Jesus Christ is departing to go to the Father, that Jesus Christ is going to be seated on the throne of God the Father. They couldn't bear that. Couldn't bear that. Four. They cannot bear the truth that He is not going to set up His kingdom right now, at this point. That they're not going to reign with Him in the promised kingdom of Israel. They're not ready for that. Five. They cannot comprehend that it is for their advantage that He leaves. How can that possibly be? Think about it. Oh, I love the Lord and the Lord, the Son of God and all this. How could it be to my profit that He leaves? Can't comprehend that. Six. But once the Holy Spirit comes, they will have the ability, the inward ability, to process all this information and act accordingly. Act accordingly, spread the gospel to Gentiles. Seven. But right now, they could not bear that God was rejecting the Jewish nation. Think about that. Think about that from being a Jew and learning all of the Old Testament, all the promises of the kingdom. And now they would be told that God is rejecting the Jewish nation and turning to Gentile dogs. Think like a Jew at this point. And you might be able to comprehend their confusion that only the Holy Spirit's going to be able to work out. Only the Holy Spirit. You got all of this doctrine, all of this teaching, all of these facts. But without the Holy Spirit, you build on, you think you can understand them, you think you got it down, and you're not even close. It takes the Holy Spirit to learn it. It takes the Holy Spirit to interpret it, to apply it, and to live it. We're so dependent on the Holy Spirit on these things. And Jesus Christ started telling them that God's turning from the Gentiles, turning from the Jews to the Gentiles and all these things. They're not able to understand that. You remember Andrew in chapter 12 when some Gentiles came and said, "We want to talk to this Jesus." They were scared to death. They didn't know what to do. So he goes to Philip, who possibly was a Gentile. Goes to Philip's disciples and then Philip. And they talked about it. What do you think? What do you think? These are Gentiles. They want to talk to him. People, if they're that worried about it, can you even believe that they'd be able to handle that God is now turning his back on the Jewish nation and going to open it up to Gentiles? They weren't even near ready for this. Weren't even near. But you remember when they went to Jesus Christ in his humanity, he said, "Now my hour has come. Now. The Jews have rejected me. The Gentiles are coming to me. Now my hour has come." 1:8. They cannot handle that the church was taking the place of the nation of Israel. I'm just giving you some things that are in their mind that's going to be happening that they're not able to handle right now. They cannot handle that the church was taking the place of the nation of Israel with all of its promises and unfulfilled covenants. And he's setting all, he God's setting all that aside and going to give it to these Gentiles, a church, the body of Christ. I don't know really why, but Paul was able to handle all of this fairly well. Paul was able to grasp it. And remember, Paul, he was out killing Jews who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And all of a sudden, he's one of the first ones who went to the Gentiles. He met with the other 11 disciples in private. Not even in public. He didn't want it to become a popularity contest. I know what I have is the truth. Now, I'm going to just meet with you in private and find out if we're on the same page with the gospel to the Gentiles. So this is why in much of Paul's writings, he's aiming at the Jews. Romans 3 and 4, Romans 9, 10, 11. They simply have big trouble at God's giving precedence to all people, the Gentiles of all people. That's just, I don't understand that. They were just freely given righteousness by faith alone, these Gentiles. It's just too much for the Jews. We're seeing that in Romans 4 now. It's just too much. They could not bear it. They did not have the Holy Spirit, and they need the Holy Spirit. See, it's easy for us, one, because we're Gentiles, so we say amen. But some 2,000 years down the line, too. But you have to think of these things from their perspective. And by the way, there are many, even today, who cannot handle, these many Jews today still can't handle the place of Gentiles in the plan of God. The place that the church has given over Israel. So, they're just not able to handle it yet, so they're not being taught all these things yet. Yes, sir? Well, so does Christ. Christ will ask them. Christ will ask them. You could have had him, but you never even asked. Didn't even... Yeah. They didn't. Okay, point nine. They simply cannot bear the fact of a new priesthood replacing the Aaronic priesthood. Think about that from a Jewish standpoint. Not only a new priesthood, but a superior priesthood. They're just not ready to handle it. But once the Holy Spirit's given and they start seeing these things, Peter writes about it. There's no problem. So these things are going to awaken inside of them. Point 10. Right now, they're not ready to handle future events. Like the church age. The Great Tribulation. They're not even able to really comprehend the glory of the second advent. They're only looking for that first advent, and he came and he was crucified. And then you're talking about all the things that are going to happen in the second advent. They're not ready yet. And finally, point 11. Finally, we're seeing spiritual love of Jesus Christ in action. Here is spiritual love in action. Spiritual love is considerate of others. Out of his love, he knows that they do not have the ability to comprehend these things. So he isn't going to lay it on them right now. He wants to. He desires to. But spiritual love, remember, understands what can be comprehended, what can be born. Sometimes in school, the teacher is teaching things that brings great frustration. You can't even understand what they're teaching, and I had that in a few classes. Well, spiritual love of Jesus Christ is aware of these things and does not press upon them these great truths until His Spirit comes. So verse 12, and we'll move on now. I have many more things, many more teachings, all these other things, and we've just gone through some of them, not even all of them, to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Okay, I, Jesus Christ, cannot teach you these things, but I will shortly, through the one who's coming, the Holy Spirit, be able to teach you. Look at verse 13, John 16, 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth. See, Jesus Christ speaks the truth. Holy Spirit sent for him. The Spirit speaks the truth. Comes. He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Wow. There's so much in this passage. Might be 2012 before we get through with it. No, we're not. We're not going to take that long. But there's just so, this is such a powerful, powerful verse. So much about the Holy Spirit's here. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, more and more on the teaching ministry of the coming of the Paraclete. Believer learning Bible doctrine is essential to Jesus Christ. And why not? It leads to walking, living in the power of the Holy Spirit. It leads to knowing more and more about Him, Jesus Christ. It encourages believers to love as Jesus Christ loved. It teaches more and more about time, history, the plan of God, where we fit into it all. All these things revealed in the teaching of truth. Reveals more and more about God the Father. And you will recall that taking us to God the Father is why Jesus Christ came in the first place. Now before we get into this verse, let's take a broad look at the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Take a broad look. One, in 14:26, chapter 14, verse 26, He will bring to remembrance all that I said to you. The things that Jesus Christ did teach them, He will bring into remembrance. Boy, I wish I'd have known about this ministry of the Holy Spirit in a lot of tests in school that I couldn't remember. Now, I knew that I'd read it. I didn't read the footnotes, but when they called those out, I just chunked those up as the little trick. But that isn't what it's talked about here. It's talking about the remembrance of things that Jesus Christ taught. Two, in 14:26 and now again in 16:13, He will teach you all things. He, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. If you walk in the power of the Spirit, you're going to be led to the study of Scripture. He will guide you into all truth. And then three, He will disclose to you what is to come. He will disclose to you what is to come. We've dealt with the importance of knowing past history, but people, we have to understand the importance of knowing future history. That's why we spent the time in Revelation. Now, the best way to grasp the conjunction day here, the beginning of this verse, is to translate it, however. See, but when he. The best way, I think, the but kind of gives it a strong adversative, and the conjunction is day. And I think the best way to grasp the grammar significance here is however. However. See? But you cannot bear them now. However. See, not a conjunction of contrast. However, when he. So I think however is a better way of looking at this. Introduces a correction of the problem of Jesus Christ teaching them about the Holy Spirit. Well, they're without the Spirit. However, when he, the adverb translated when, it should be in this case, he, the one, one demonstrative pronoun, when that one, it's a demonstrative pronoun, should be translated when that one, the Spirit of truth. Okay, that's as far as we've gotten here. Let's take a few points. One, God the Father is truth. God the Father is truth. Let me just give you some passages. We'll not take time to turn to them right now. You can look at them. Exodus 34:6. Psalm 31:5. Psalm 86:15. God the Father is truth. Point two, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And three, the Holy Spirit is truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And there, 4.4, here's one you can trust. You can put your trust in this one. Just as you trust the Father, just as you trust the Son, you can trust the Holy Spirit. Just as they follow Jesus Christ's truth, so they can now follow the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth. And so can we. We can walk by faith and not by sight. We can walk by faith in the Paraclete. Why? For He is the Spirit of truth. As the Spirit of truth, He is sufficient for us to follow by faith. Just as Jesus Christ is sufficient for our faith for eternal life salvation, so the Paraclete is sufficient for our faith for spirituality. Just as the Bible is worthy of our trust in that it is sent by the God of truth. The Paraclete has already been identified by Jesus Christ. The Paraclete has already been identified by Jesus Christ in chapter 14:17 as the one that God the Father will send to them, whom the world cannot receive, chapter 14. And in chapter 15:26, He will bear witness of Me. And now mentioned again by Jesus Christ by this title, He is called the Spirit of Truth. These three times, why is this so important? He will teach truth and lead into truth. He will teach truth and lead into truth. Let's do take a moment and look at John 7:18. Gospel of John, turn back just a few pages to chapter 7. Let's look at verse 18. All right, 7:18. He who speaks from himself speaks of it to his own glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true. And there is no unrighteousness in him. For unto Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit. Now, which is most significant here for this verse is directly related to the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit in our passage to the Holy Spirit specifically. One final point on the Spirit of Truth here and the Word of God. One final point on the Spirit of Truth and the Word of God. The Bible. 1.1. First, the Bible is unique in that it is written by men, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is written by men, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 21. 2 Peter 1:21, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Point two. Therefore, we are totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit for correctly seeing, understanding, and grasping the truth of the Word of God. As we have well seen how easy it is to miss the truth of Scripture and believe a lie or teach inaccurately the Word of God. It's just so easy. Everyone, before he or she opens their Bible, should be sure they're in the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I do this every time when I walk into that office and sit down. I sometimes even know I am, but I'll sit down and go into prayer, that he will lead me, that he'll open my eyes to the things that we need to see here. By no means see everything that's there, but what do those who will listen to me, either here, on the internet, or tape, or disc, or whatever, what they need to hear. And just open my eyes to the truth of these things. And I beg you to do the same thing, whether you're here in class, listening to hear, reading, or doing whatever, anytime you open this book. As I've said before, it's the most dangerous thing you'll do, is open this book. You will not do anything more dangerous, because you can see this by the flesh and see evil and think it's true, or you can see the truth. So we're totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Point three, every pastor, teacher, anyone who teaches the Bible must be under the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit of truth. Any pastor, teacher, every pastor, teacher, anyone who teaches the Bible must be under the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit of truth. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, and let's read together verses 9 through 11. But, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of men, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. People, this is in our lifetime. This is not in eternity. This is now. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So we're totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to understand and grasp the teaching of truth. Anyone and everyone is dependent upon the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, for the truthful understanding of Scripture, of God's Word. And this starts with the gospel. There are many people who don't understand the gospel. They believe in a gospel of works, a gospel of do. You need the Holy Spirit to even enlighten in regard to the gospel, and then the Holy Spirit living the Christian life, on and on and on. We cannot depend on tradition in interpreting a passage, not depending on IQ or the reasoning of man. And it's difficult to do, but I've had to just ignore things that I've been taught very adamantly. When I sit down now and I go, wait a minute, that isn't going here, is it, Lord? And just, okay, let me set that aside and see what's going on here. And unlearning the false is very difficult. And so it's just we're so dependent on the Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth. All right, let's look at John 16 and our passage now. However, when that one, the Spirit of truth, comes. All right, we have the aorist, active, subjunctive, erkomai, to come. The subjunctive mood goes with the adverb when. They go together. That's why it's in a subjunctive mood. When he comes. The aorist tense, point in time when he comes. Structurally, the day of Pentecost. And then, dramatically, with everyone, as each one believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, one of the 34 things that happens, you're indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. So, historically, it occurred on the day of Pentecost, this erkomai, when He comes, and personally, it happens the moment you and I believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Then it says, when this happens, He will guide you into all truth. Well, this is opening up a big discussion, so I'll just stop right here, and we'll pick it up here next year, which isn't that far away. So we'll pick it up here next year and next Wednesday night and take a look at this concept. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so dependent on the Holy Spirit to learn of the Holy Spirit, to learn accurately, truthfully. To depend on Him to teach us the truth about Himself, the truth about Jesus Christ, who is not here, but is risen and ascended, and about You. So, Father, we pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to these things and teach us in truth. We have no platform that we're seeking to uphold here. We have no charismatic concept. We have no doctrinal issues that we're going to make all of this fit. We just put ourselves into trusting in the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the things that He would take us and show us about Himself, about Your Son, about You, and all these things from Your Word, accurately understanding it. And Father, we just praise You and thank You for sending us the Holy Spirit. Certainly for sending us the Word of God, but we'd be no better off if it were not for the Holy Spirit. But Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will continue to guide us this assembly. Let us assemble ourselves for the study and the understanding of these truths, Father. Pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.